Hi, I'm Sherry Johnson, and you are about to discover how to embrace your life as a childless woman who wanted to have a family and never could. This is where we combine mindset shifting tools with practical tips so you can break free of outdated societal norms that condition us all to believe that women without kids just don't measure up to the moms. It's where we take action on processing grief and accelerating the healing journey so you can feel free. When childless women awaken their self-worth, they transform from hopeless and inadequate to worthy, accepting, and purposeful. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of light bulb moments that will shift your perspective as a childless woman about yourself, about your innate power to change yourself, your future, and maybe even the world we live in. If that's what you want, then keep on listening. Welcome back to the Awakening Worth podcast. I have a special guest with me today. Her name is Bonnie Ruth, and she's all over Instagram as Barren Not Broken, which I love that name. And we are going to get into her journey through infertility and now on the childless path, but she's also doing something really special with relationships and really helping people navigate through that. And I really want to highlight that. So we're going to get into that. And we also happen to be on the Tudum Global editorial board together. So we're just starting to get to know each other and what we do. And I'm excited to further that relationship today. So welcome, Bonnie Ruth.
Thank you so much for having me, Sherry. I'm honored that you would invite me into your space and your community. And I'm really excited for our conversation today.
Oh, me too. So I'm going to dive right in because that's kind of my style.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, let's dive in. I'm going to ask you to start by telling us a little bit about your story, how you landed on the childless path.
Well, my husband and I have been married for 22 years, and 19 of those years have been us really honestly navigating like what building a family looked like for us and also just chronic health issues for me. I've had endometriosis, PCOS, fibroids, and just a lot of hormonal issues that have caused a lot of damage to my body. So we were navigating that along with, our infertility journey. So 19 years always freaks people out when I say that, but it was just a lot of years of having to stop and focus on myself. And then, okay, do we want to have kids? Okay, you know, what does this look like? Going to doctors and lots of surgeries and treatments. And so in 2020, it just came down to my body had bullied me long enough. And I always say we, and I clarify this in our community because I know it is my body. And ultimately the decisions that I made were mine, but I say we because they do affect my husband, Jason. And so we just took a lot of time as individuals and as a couple, and we decided for me to have a hysterectomy in 2020, along with a couple of other procedures, navigating just, you know, endometriosis and PCOS. And so we made that decision. And obviously it was not an easy one, but after 19 years, you can imagine it was just time. And again, I highlight like not all of those years were like us in infertility treatments or, you know, us trying to conceive the whole time. It was just a very, a very up and down like journey and battle for us. So by the time we made that decision, we knew it was the right one. And so we also at that time just did not feel like adoption or other options were the best route for us. And we've chosen to be childless. And I think for us, we just realized we've actually been childless our entire married life. And we know that rhythm. And even though there was a lot of pain and navigating of our story of grief and loss and confusion and like what's happening, we decided this was the best route for us. And so I had a hysterectomy in 2020. The recovery was long and hard for us emotionally, but we have just kind of stepped into a new season of what that looks like, and honestly excited for what the future holds, and grateful for what we've navigated together. So Barren Not Broken actually came from that. I launched Barren Not Broken 2 months before I had my hysterectomy, and it was just a way to heal, to be honest. So we've just tried to navigate each season as though it felt right for us. So yeah, that's kind of our journey. That's how we became Jason and Bonnie Ruth, a childless couple, and stepped into focusing on that over, trying to conceive or what that looked like in building our family.
There was something you said in there that really kind of jumped out at me when you said we've been a childless couple for 22 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's something we don't really think about. Like, we already know how to be a childless couple.
Right. Right.
But we think of all that time that we spent like trying.
Right.
And that's a different, like, we think of that as a different person than being the person who accepts being childless.
Yeah. And I love that you just pointed that out, because I think it's both and. I think very much so we don't give ourselves credit that we've already been navigating each other in that way. But there's that caveat of, you know, do we want children? Do we not want children? Can we have children? Can we not have children? And so I think there's a layer that comes with the finality of the decision. And there is like a certain process that has to happen. But where I think we felt a little stronger in navigating that together is that we did acknowledge, like, hey, we've actually already been walking this together. And so what are the ways that we want to strengthen and build upon? And then what are the areas that have become like unhealthy or like thought patterns with each other that we don't need anymore? And so it is a dissecting of that. It's definitely both and.
Yeah, that's a really intentional way of looking at your childless life.
Mm.
Yeah, I liked what you just said about, you know, what maybe isn't healthy and what do we want to take from the life we've been living, and what do we want to maybe change? Or at least that's how I'm sort of interpreting it and applying to my own.
And it's one that if we will kind of pause and look at that, I think it gives us a one up in our own journey, meaning we get to realize that there are some things that we're really good at in the childless path. And we just haven't had to acknowledge that before or even wanted to, right? But when we make that decision, or we've, you know, for us, our circumstances pushed us into making some decisions that we didn't want to make or maybe weren't expecting to make, but we can kind of look at ourselves and our relationship and really find in ourselves a way that we have already been navigating and walking a path that wasn't defined, but we actually do have some tools in our tool belt to help us define it.
Yeah. So talk about those tools.
Yeah. I love approaching it from the vantage point that this is what's worked for us, right? Mm. And hopefully from what we talk about today, whatever might help another couple or another individual, that they can find something that just ignites something on the inside of them. Oh, okay. I need to focus on that. Like, I never thought about that, but the actual tool itself may not be the right one. However, it may encourage us to look at things differently. So that's kind of how I approach that question. For us, I think we rely heavily on a lot of communication, and sometimes that's not so great looking, and we're both choleric, so it can be really loud and intense. But no matter what, we're communicating. And it's really honestly asking each other the questions that feel really awkward, and that expose the tenderness of our hearts. And those have to be done in the right moments. And for Jason, that looks different than it looks for me. So for example, I know that if I've got Jason sitting down at a restaurant that he loves and he is enjoying his food, I can pretty much ask anything. Or if Jason's like taking a shower and it's not been a super hard long day, I can just sit on the bathroom tile and just have a whole conversation with him. For me, he finds that in if I'm sitting outside in my favorite chair and I've got my coffee, he can come talk to me about anything. So it's really navigating what the safe spaces are for the other person to open up. And so I say that for a specific reason. Sometimes it's not the right time for you at the same time. Sherry, like for you, it might be a great time to have the hard conversation because you're in the right safe space, but that's not your husband's safe space or your partner's safe space. And so for Jason and I, we've just had to realize like the whole conversation doesn't have to happen at the same time. And I think if we'll, and I say that in that, like, sometimes I really screw that up, but, cause I'm a go-getter and I want to define it all right now and figure it all. And so sometimes I fumble that, but I think communication is a huge tool. And then the when you communicate, another set of tools, and I'd love to hear from you as well, like just any thoughts you might have, but for us, we realized that we had to step away from the decision-making. And I know that might sound like an oxymoron, but like stepping away from the situation, maybe it's a weekend getaway, maybe it's a day like at the lake or whatever it might be. And just like literally it's off limits and we don't talk about it. So it's communication and not communicating about it. And what that does is it just lets like your soul and your hearts connect to each other that's not based around this. And that has really helped us a lot because then we can come back and we can talk about it and we can take that process of communication.
Quick interruption here to talk about creating your best year. We are just over 6 weeks into 2024. And if you haven't seen any improvement towards getting to your best year ever, even without kids, then you need to download my free guide on how to create it. You will discover what might be standing in the way of your best life. I've got 3 mistakes in there that you might be making that are keeping you stuck in grief, and how you can really tap into what you truly desire in your life. You can get that free guide by going to sherryjohnson.ca/bestyear. I will link that up in the bottom of the show notes so you don't have to worry about the spelling, but it's sherryjohnson.ca/bestyear. It's a free guide. It's going to help you to create your best 2024, a year full of purpose and meaning and joy. So go grab that now. And let's get back to the episode now. Yeah, I would totally agree. I mean, they do seem like two completely different.
Yeah.
Like two
opposite advice.
Yeah. 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 But it's true. Like the fertility journey, even if your child's journey didn't start with infertility.
Yeah.
The quest to become a parent can be all consuming.
Oh yeah.
And the number of decisions that need to be made on that path and you know, even for a single person who's on the quest to find the right partner who can then be the parent with them, is another quest. And there's decisions to be made on that. And, you know, I have many clients who have had to make really tough decisions where they're with someone who doesn't want children.
Yeah. Yep.
And sometimes those, stepping away from that decision can sometimes bring clarity.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes to mind is that the analogy I'm going to use is when you want to buy a house and you have this idea of the house that you want and you start looking for it and searching and going to see houses. And then you get frustrated because you can't find one that's within your budget.
Yeah.
And then when you actually step away and just stop the striving and the reaching and the trying to control and step back and just allow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like the word allow, like just sort of allow things to happen and go away for a weekend or whatever that means.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
then
good.
You come back and sometimes you just have so much more clarity or something has fallen into place or.
Yeah. It just that's a great example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely, I love that because it's true. We sometimes have, such expectations that it actually clouds the clarity. And that's why stepping away so that when you come back to communicate, you're refreshed. And then together you're refreshed. Or like you said, if it's a single person, they've had the space and time to like navigate their own thoughts, allow themselves to think through things, allow themselves to see where they're, what they're feeling. And we can't do that in the midst of the chaos of decisions. I say chaos of decisions to mean decisions are so layered, right? Whether good or bad decisions, they're so layered and they can feel like chaos within ourselves. And if we can step aside and really like look into or give ourselves space to just breathe in what we're facing, then there's the chaos settles and it no longer is chaos. And we have the ability to sift and to create and define and discover.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think of something on the, like that I really experienced while trying to make the decision to stop fertility treatments. And I feel like this would apply to anybody who's trying to stop, you know, you have to make a decision as to whether you have a hysterectomy or you stop, whatever it is you, at some point you need to make a decision to stop trying, stop the quest.
Yeah.
And I really struggled with, you know, you talked about decisions being so layered and nuanced and I really struggled. I didn't know at the time. It's only upon looking back that I see how much I was being influenced by the people around me. Without even realizing it, you know, like people would say things like, you want to do everything you can to have a baby. And don't stop trying. Like, don't ever stop trying. And you know, and then there's all of the pronatalism out in the world that tells us that motherhood is the best way to live and what legacy are you going to leave without it, which we're going to talk about later. So all those things were playing into the decision. It was really hard to untangle all of that from what I really wanted. And what my husband and I together wanted for our life. So sometimes that stepping out can really give you that clarity.
And also, I think I'll add this. I think it's important to do that as individuals and together, because then when you come back together and you are communicating with your spouse or your partner, like, or, you know, if you're dating someone and you're, like you said, you're talking about, do we want children? You know, that kind of thing. When you come back, there is the ability to say things that you may not have said before because you sense the chaos has settled or the clarity has come in or the openness to hear each other in a different way. And you being able to say to each other where you truly are, there could be a freedom that comes in that with your relationship, with your decision-making moving forward. And like you said, then it's solely about you. It's not about all the voices that are surrounding you. Because that's very normal. You know, what you just described, I feel like if you've been on this path for any length of time, or you've stepped into, you know, having to come to that place of like stopping the quest, like you said, you've felt those things. You've realized the voices and the need to find what you really want. And it's so important. It's so important. It's important as individual and it's important as a couple.
Yeah, that's a really great point, actually, to do that exercise kind of by yourself and then also together. Yeah.
It's important. It's amazing what it takes to make these decisions, right, Cherry?
Well, they're huge decisions. Gosh,
yeah, they're huge. Yeah, exactly.
Change your life.
Yeah, life-changing. When people say that phrase, actually, my husband and I kind of chuckle in the sense of, like, you know, life-changing decisions. And I'm like, I don't know that most people know how intensely that phrase applies to what we have had to navigate. And, you know, yeah, there's life-changing, are you going to move? You know, there's so many life-changing things that we all face, right? No matter married, single, you know, childless by choice, childless not by choice. But the reality is there's something even deeply layered in that phrase that I think we feel that, yeah, there's a lot of people that feel it, but sadly, there's also not a lot of people that could ever describe that phrase the way that we could. You know what I mean?
Yeah, gosh, I hadn't even really thought about it that way. But yeah, like when you, it's funny because it's life-changing and it's not. I mean, it's,
yeah,
my life pretty much stayed the same.
The same, yep.
And yet the decision to stop trying changes, like everything. It changed my entire, how I envisioned my future. And it created a change. Well, it did actually change my entire life because it led me to this work. I think it probably led you to yours.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it did really change my life in those ways. But I don't think the outside world could really, really understand the enormity of the change in our future.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. I love that. You just described it head on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it looks the same. You know, our friends, a lot of times I'm like, I don't think they realize, and not that they have to, right? But I'm just giving an example of sometimes I don't think anyone else can see or understand the enormity, like you said. And that's okay because it's our story, our journey, or it's, you know, your and your husband's story journey. But that's why this community is so important, is because there is the ability to relate to that. Even though all of our stories are different on some levels, there is that commonality of knowing that feeling and knowing that, like, there is enormity behind it and there's probably not words to describe it, but we get it. And so that's why I just so appreciate, you know, what you're doing and, you know, collaborating with people like you in this community, because we need to be reminded, okay, the enormity may look different, but I get it. I get that there's an enormity behind this and you're not alone in that, you know?
Yes, that's such a good point. So were there other, we were on the topic of tools and so just to summarize the two, one was communication and you talked about the where and the when and the what. So it's finding the space where your partner is open to communication as well as yourself and also the timing of that. And then we also talked about sort of what seems like the opposite, which is sort of stepping away from the decision when you need to. Are there other tools that you wanted to add before I start firing other questions at you?
Yeah, I think one other thing I would just add is, and I pause, like my pause is because this can be very controversial, I think, in our community of, I do think it's educating those that are in your community, meaning like your family, your closest friends. It's not everyone, but those who have walked with you deeply. When you're in that process of making that decision to stop the quest or to continue the quest, it is our job, I feel, this is my personal opinion, to communicate to those closest to us and educate them on the process that you're taking. And I say that because they don't know. And they can only search that out so much because they're not the ones walking through it. But most of the time, and there's always a caveat and there's always an exception to every rule, But most of the time, I believe they really want to walk it with us well. And if we don't communicate to them, even if it's to say, I don't know what we're going to need, but we'll tell you, even if it's just to bridge that gap. And I think bridging the gap is important on our end because it allows there to be less conflict and less issues in the relationships and less loss. I don't need to experience any more loss in that time. And so for me, I just took the time. And I know that that's controversial because like I'm the one going through the painful thing. But if I want a support system, I'm part of that. I'm part of the system. And so I need to take time to communicate to those closest to me. Not everyone deserves that space and communication and education or explanations. It only should be the people that you feel safe to do that with. I do want to clarify that, but I just think it's important to bring those along with you. And they can only come within the space that you invite them. And so invite them and share with them and include them in what feels right for you and your spouse. And I think that's a layered, we could have a whole podcast on what that looks like, but I just wanted to say like, include those that feel safe to you, include those that love you and are walking well with you in the process. And that way, the day that you do know what you need, you have a place to go to ask for it.
I agree.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was like, oh my gosh, Sherry and I didn't talk about this before, but I want our community to understand that yes, we are going through so many things and it's painful and there's so much grief around it. And it is hard. I'm not going to act like it's easy to do that, but I do think it is on us to say what we need and to, again, within the safety of the right people, to create the system. I want to define what the system looks like. I want to define what my support system is. And they can't do that for me. And oftentimes I see us in this community failing to create the system and then feeling very, very rejected and left and devastated and more grief piled on that I think can be avoided. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that since you said you agree, but that's where it comes from for me, you know?
Oh, I have so many thoughts on that. I've thought a lot about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I used to watch a lot of Tony Robbins stuff and went to one of his conferences and he talks a lot about expectations and how most of our suffering comes from setting our expectations and then our family members or friends or whatever don't meet them. And I think that's what we do as childless women. So this is my first thought. We set these expectations. We put these expectations on our friends and family to support us.
Yeah.
We expect them to reach out to us. We expect when they, most of them have no idea that we're even grieving.
Yeah.
This is disenfranchised grief. It's not openly talked about in our society. It's not. So how would they know?
How would they? Yeah, exactly.
And if we continue to keep it to ourselves, that piles on shame, first of all.
And then
it also never opens up the conversation. Like that just reinforces what other people think of being childless. It's just something that happens and then you move on and you know, they must like, they don't even know that a lot of people don't even know whether you wanted a kid or not. If they don't know, if you're not open about, about your path.
Yeah.
So there's just, I liken it to, I'm going to tell one little story. This is supposed to be about you, but it just really drives home that point. I had three miscarriages. The first one, I had told everybody because I found out that I was pregnant the week before I was going to an all-inclusive resort wedding.
Okay.
And a whole, like all my closest girlfriends were going to be there.
Yeah.
And so I had to tell them why I couldn't accept the welcome drink or any other drinks for the rest of the trip.
Yeah.
And so then if I told my friends, then I better tell my sisters and my mom.
Right. Right.
And so I had everybody knew that I was pregnant. And so it was very easy when they called and said, "Hey, how are you doing?" I could just say, "Well, actually not so well. This is what happened." The second time I thought that I got pregnant, I thought, "Oh, I'm going to jinx this if I tell anybody." Mm. So we're not telling a soul this time.
Yeah.
And so we didn't tell anybody, and I miscarried at my parents' house on Thanksgiving weekend. So my whole family was coming the next day.
Yeah.
And we were staying there for night. So overnight I miscarried.
Wow.
And the next morning we were planning on telling my parents that I was pregnant. And instead I had to figure out how to even bring the topic up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then say, "Well, we were going to tell you that, that I'm pregnant again, but we lost the baby last night." And they were sort of horrified and and shocked and didn't even know what to do for me.
Yeah.
And then an hour later, my sister arrives with her family and her kids and my other sister and everybody arrives. And it was so much easier when I told the people that I knew. And I feel like this applies to like not just getting pregnant and having miscarriage, but it's any part of the journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. They know it gives them permission to talk about it with you, to ask about it.
Yeah.
Which they don't even know they can do. Like they're afraid to ask you because they think it's, they don't know what to say and they don't know whether you're open to it.
Taboo for them and no one's clarified it, you know? You clarified it for them in that you invited them into that space. And wow. I mean, first of all, I'm very sorry that you've experienced that loss and that pain. I know that as well. And I think it's a really beautiful though example of how when we bring those like again that are safe and care about us along, there is just there's a different way to walk through it. For them and for us. It really brings an empowerment on both sides, an empowerment to be in the relationship in the pain. And as humans, we can tend to not know how to handle to be in, sit in the grief and pain with each other. And I think really that starts with the person that's in the grief and pain in the sense of maybe we don't get it all right. Maybe we don't know exactly what to say to everybody, but you just allowed them to be in it with you. That also puts down our defenses when they don't do it right, you know? Wow. That's a really good example. I hope people really took that piece of our conversation in, cause I think it's, important. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you're right. It is, it's not talked about enough and it can be controversial, but I too hope that lands.
What else you got for me?
Well, I want to go back to that idea of legacy and you touched on it, sort of defining a different legacy. We think of legacy as our children.
Yeah.
And if we don't have children, then we think we need to leave this other big legacy, like Oprah-sized.
Yeah.
You know, being a childless woman. And I'm curious to hear how defining a legacy looked for you.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's still, I mean, you're still defining it.
Yeah.
And how to help people do that for themselves.
I think that's such a good question in that it's one we kind of can bypass sometimes, I think, in our community. And partly because we have made this massive decision, we're not having children, or maybe, you know, again, whether it's by choice or childless, you know, by circumstances, whatever the situation might be, we've made this decision. And there's all that comes with that and the layered pieces. But I think sometimes we bypass and go straight into this, like, okay, we've had this grief, this loss, this big decision. And then now it's like, we just want to live our lives, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that we should all be living our lives the way that we see that it's best. But I think the legacy piece for me comes in really important. You know, my whole family has really always been about like the legacy that we're leaving as a family. And when it became like, oh, clearly aware to Jason and I that we weren't contributing to that legacy in the same way as everybody else in the family. And so, but we're really passionate about leaving a legacy. So we had to come to a place where we were okay with redefining that. And so I go back to why I just shared the tool that I did is to lead into this. I have had to help my family redefine legacy. And so for Jason and I, we have allowed ourselves to be open in that process with my family so that it becomes past bloodline. And that legacy is bigger than bloodline. It's not just defined by that. To us, we believe that legacy is how we're contributing to one another within our families, to contributing to our communities, contributing to relationships and friendships. And I'll kind of touch on these, but relationships and friendships, how we're contributing to society and to our world at large. And so maybe that's not like, I love how you said like Oprah size, but it's not to be diminished. It's not to be discarded, I don't feel. I think defining our legacy and friendships, you know, for Jason and I, our friendships are our family, our greater family. It is the way that we express ourselves the most, right? And so we value relationships and we carve out time and we really focus on who we have as friends and how much time we spend with them and how we spend time with them. And, you know, we have decided that part of defining our legacy is going to be our relationships. And so we spend a lot of time on that. When we're scheduling out our life or when we're talking about how we're feeling in a certain season. Okay, well, we're feeling really confident and we're feeling maybe really joyful in this season. So what does that look like in our friendships? Or maybe in this season, we are feeling a lot of grief. And so how do we contribute to our relationships in that? How do we help our friends see how to navigate grief? So it can really be broken down like super simple and then also big picture. Another way, like if you look at family, you know, we are not going to contribute to the Bogard-Rolf bloodline. However, we are contributing into our nieces and our nephews in a way that we actually wouldn't be able to. So the kind of human beings that they're becoming, we're getting to contribute to that in a way that we wouldn't have if we had kids. And so the legacy that they're carrying on in themselves, they carry us in that because we're contributing to it in a very intentional way. So it may not be our blood line in the sense of we've had the children, but they are our bloodline. And we get to contribute to how they live that out within our family dynamic, within community. And I'll give an example. My nephews, I have three nephews on my brother's side, and they are just my life. I love them to death. And Jason and I, we are very intentional in the conversations that we have with them. We're intentional in how we show up for them, when we show up for them. And so it's shifting our perspective on legacy being one thing. And it's redefining it for how it best fits in our life, our personality, our giftings, our skills. And so that's really like the path we've been on for probably the last 2.5, 3 years. And realizing that if we've already been living this childless life for 22 years, that is one of the pieces that we went back and looked like, how have we actually already been living legacy? And so we've just pulled forward into our current and our future on how we want to live that. Does that answer the question? I can talk about it all day, so I'll take a breath.
No, I actually, there's a few things that I want to say about that. Number one, I think you just gave permission to to our audience to like that it doesn't have to be this big, huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be oversized. It's
no.
how you live
yes.
life.
Yes.
It's, you know, you use that word a lot. Like it's mm-hmm. how
yep.
you're building your relationships. It's how you're being. It's being. It's not doing. It's not achieving something. It's it's just the self that you bring to your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Like there is all this pressure, I think, on childless women that you've got all this time, so you need to do something big with that. And first of all, we don't have all this time.
Yeah, exactly. Could we just break that down for everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
There's definitely a myth within the childless world that we are constantly having to bust, but
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a, I think that's a female thing, and that is a whole other topic too.
Yeah,
that I could,
exactly.
I could get into.
Yeah.
But the other thing that you said was that I hadn't, I mean, we talk about this, like I just finished a podcast with someone else where we were talking about how we kind of co-opt ourselves into motherhood and say, well, who else can you mother? Your nieces and nephews and your dog mom and or your whatever. But you're talking about it in a very different way.
Yeah.
And it's more like I can be a different kind of contributor to that relationship as a childless woman.
Yeah.
And being intentional about it like that, I think that's something that I've noticed all the way along our conversation is that the things that you've said are really about being intentional.
Yeah.
And I think that really
good.
Shifts your perspective a little bit. Like what self am I bringing to this relationship that I have with my niece?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
exactly.
a nephew or whatever.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, I love how you just put that. I might like steal that from you there. it is the how and not necessarily just the what. And I do want to say, I agree with you that there's so much pressure on childless women to like then perform and create and contribute, right? Mm-hmm. And for some of us, we thrive in that and we want, that's the path we want to take. But I do think that the how is and the intentionality is so much more important than having to strive to do and be and give. Because then it happens, because here's the deal. Legacy, if you break it down, like if I had kids and it was my bloodline that I contributed to legacy and I'm pouring into those kids and I'm, you know, shaping them and developing them and sending them out into the world, hopefully as amazing humans, right? But really what this allows us to do is actually just show up in the being, like you said, in who we are. It's not a striving. It's not this, it doesn't have to be so clearly defined. And why I think I say redefine is because we've locked ourselves into it being this certain thing and how it looks and what we do. And why we're doing it. And really, it's a reproducing of ourselves. It becomes very arrogant and prideful in some ways of reproducing ourselves. But really, what I'm talking about doing is just contributing. And when we show up to contribute, the responsibility is not on all on us. And so it allows us this freedom and more capacity. Right. Like I feel like Jason and I have more capacity to contribute to a legacy than if we defined it in one specific way, because now it's just about us being intentional in the how and just being. Whereas, you know, that opens up our capacity to invite more people or to be a part of more things than we maybe would have been able to otherwise. And so that's what I mean by that redefining or reshaping. It doesn't mean that you're still not contributing. It's just you are getting to do it on this, I think, to be honest, in my opinion, in a greater capacity that we often don't value or highlight in our society. But I can tell you that there are people in my life that have shaped and made me who I am that are not in my bloodline. And if it wasn't for those people contributing into who I am, my legacy actually wouldn't look like what it does. But I'm very proud. And I say this, and please, you know, temper it for the community, Sherry, if you feel the need. I say this with humility, but also with a lot of confidence. And it comes from a place of working really hard to be able to say this. I'm really proud of my legacy, and I don't see that it's lacking or missing anything. Now, that does not diminish the grief and pain I've gone through and having to reshape and redefine it. However, I'm really proud of what it looks like. And part of what I'm contributing to the people in my life, or the situations or the successes in my life, is that grief and pain that I've gone through and how I've walked it so intentionally. And I hope to contribute that to other people's lives. So when they do face things, maybe not the same thing, but that how I've walked my life has then contributed and deposited into them in a way that it ripple effects and it makes a better world. It makes a better legacy. It makes a better relationship.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it brings to mind a couple of things. One, you know, speaking of Oprah, I think this is why it came to mind. She at one point interviewed Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou on this, I don't know whether it was a Super Soul session or,
yeah,
or where I got this, but Maya Angelou said, "Your legacy is not a thing. It's not a child. It's the people that you touch." I can't remember the exact quote, like her exact phrase, but that was the gist of it, was that it's the people that you touch in the course of your lifetime and how you impact them. It's not about what you contribute to the world. And then something else that you touched upon was I'm going to sum it up by saying the ego in legacy. And if I think, you know, if your head is wrapped up in, I need to leave this thing that's me, whether that is a child or a, you know, art or your business or a bunch of money, whatever it is, if you feel the need to leave something in the world after you've gone, if you need to leave a thing, a person, then that is your ego, like telling you that that's how you become important.
That's really good.
And that's external. Like that's taking away from our innate worth and value and placing it on the thing that we want to leave. So, and I kind of heard that in, you know, that's, I forget what you said, but you alluded to, like, you know, bloodline, having to leave a name, like, you know, there's a lot of, there was a lot of conversation recently that I think has not recently, over the years, as women started to not take their partner's name. And we had a conversation about that in our family recently, in my husband's side, where there's only one grandson. And, you know, they were sort of joking about, well, it's all on him to carry on the family name and the family, the family name. And I just am inside my heart, I was thinking, well, that's just, who cares? It's that's ego that wants your name to carry on. Like, it's just a name.
Well, and I guess for me, what is in a name? If we haven't left who we are, the name means nothing. And so I think that's, you know, for Jason and I, we have just, one of the things that we realized we had already been living, that we brought forward with us, like I mentioned, was that we actually have always lived our life in who we are, and our character, and how we're investing in other people matters more to us than anything else. And so we had already been living that way. And we are just determined to continue to contribute who we are. And we are imperfect people, by the way. So there's imperfections in this, but who we are and our character and what we stand for and what we believe in and how we treat humanity and how we treat the community around us. Like that's actually what people remember. It's not the name. So what people remember in a name is what comes behind it and who the person is that was attached to it. And so I think what you just brought up is just really powerful in that I just encourage us all to think about who we are, not what we are or the title attached to it, but it's really, it's who we are. It, like you said, innately who we are and how we're contributing that. So that's really, I love what you just said that, oh, that was really good. Really good.
Well, you said it all. I just responded. So. And well, I think it. What you say is true. I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of that, so I want to turn things onto something else that you've been working on, your retreat and taking this idea of relationships and building a legacy together and defining that. Tell us about your vision.
Yeah. So as we just kind of, you know, made that decision, had the hysterectomy in 2020, I would say there was a year of what we call just like a black hole. And it honestly felt like the darkest time of our life. And we were not sure how to find our way out of it. And we did have to apply tools. Thank God for counselors and coaches and people like you, and what you do, and just really had to work our way out of it as individuals and as a couple. And so as we began to come out of that, we kind of say like, it went from like this black blank canvas to a white canvas. And the white canvas started to represent, okay, something's coming. And as we began to discuss kind of what we just did about defining legacy and what does that look like. And so all of this is kind of happening at the same time. We're healing physically, emotionally, relationally. And so really all of a sudden the canvas just started having like what we say, beautiful color. And we both have always had it in our hearts to do like a retreat place for couples, but we didn't really know what that looked like. When we retire, you know, that kind of thing. But it just started coming towards our heart and just pressing even more. And we started dreaming about it. And so, to be honest, we like completely changed the trajectory of our lives. And we sold our home where we lived, where we loved. We left all of our friends. They're all at least an hour and a half away from where we currently are. And we bought some property in Northeast Texas in a town called Bonham. And most people around here are like, Bonham, really? So most people are, you know, looking at Bonham and thinking, why Bonham? It's a small town in Texas. We chose it because there's some exciting things happening. And the state of Texas is building two large recreational lakes within 10 minutes of our property. And so we had done research and we knew that was happening. And so for us, we wanted to be by water. We think water is one of the most healing and relaxing things. And so we found property. There's so many beautiful stories I could tell you, Sherry, on how we found the property, but that would be like a whole podcast in itself. Mm-hmm. So we found this property. We knew it was ours. And we have decided to build a retreat center, and it's called Legacy Place. And
as you can
tell, we are very passionate about that term, and we feel like it is how we are going to contribute a legacy. And what I mean by that is we hope that couples will come out to the property, stay, maybe it's just a weekend getaway to do what we talked about earlier, where they just need to step away from it all. Maybe they're in the middle of having those big conversations and they don't want to have it in their home, in the space that's supposed to feel safe and secure. And now it's like muddied up with all of these difficult decisions and the grief. And so we want to provide a place where they can come and have those conversations. Maybe we're an hour and a half outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If they're there for treatments, maybe they want to drive an hour into town, do their treatment, come back out and enjoy our property while they're there for, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, depending on what their treatment is. So We are building cabins on our property. And I say cabins, tiny home cabins. Let me just put it to you this way. We are building beautiful space and thinking through every aspect. We're thinking through the bathroom. And I say that because I don't know about you, but that's where a lot of the pain happens in our home. It's where miscarriage happens. It's where treatment happens. It's where sometimes the fights happen. It's where you are having side effects. You know, the bathroom holds so much grief and pain. And so we have just designed our cabins for our bathrooms to be a place that they can breathe again. They can relax. They can take a bath. It's not associated with pain. And we just want to redefine that space for them. So we've really tried to think through all of the aspects, you know.
Hey, can I just interrupt you for a second?
Because oh,
I just got chills when you were talking about the bathroom. So I have this gift. When I sense that someone is doing, like, is following their soul, when it's what God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, is coming through them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it. And when you were talking about the bathrooms, like I felt it starting because you're right. That's where I had all three of my miscarriages. So much pain goes on in the bathroom. Even when I think about things that my husband has been through. Things that, oh my gosh, like I never thought about that. And as soon as you started talking about, like, I immediately started to envision this bathroom that's open and breathable, and I just got chills. It's it's such a thing we don't even think about, but you're thinking about it, which is amazing.
Well, thank you. I do believe, like, for Jason and I, we do believe that it's out of our faith and our own journey and our own story that these things are coming forward from us, because I didn't realize it either, to be honest, until we started building, you know, designing our plans. And that, you know, we've had a lot of people say to us, like, oh, you should just do this, or just get a container and build a tiny home, just, you know, get this, like, certain prefab thing. And I just, to my core, Jason, both of us have said, no, like, we're designing this for every square inch of this place. We want it to be intentional. And so we've done that as best we can, you know, in our own humanity. But we hope to, basically right now we've live on the property. We're RVing it. And you may not know this because we're getting to know each other, but we didn't even camp pre-RV life. So if that tells you anything, it has been quite the journey, but we felt like we needed to be on property to, like, feel it and experience it. And definitely life is navigated where it's taking longer than we thought, but we have broke ground. We have septic and water and electric. We have a road. We have a beautiful entry that my husband also designed, and we are just getting ready to hopefully break ground on at least one cabin this year. As we grow and develop, it is a nonprofit, and we set it up that way so that other people could contribute to these couples coming and their story and them finding a place to rest and reconnect with each other, with themselves, with their own stories, with their own legacy. And so we want people to be able to contribute to that. Because a lot of times, like we talked about earlier, the people that care about us, they want to be able to participate in our journey and our healing. And sometimes they don't know how to do that. And so we just want to provide a place that, you know, if it's your aunt and uncle or, like, your parents, you know, when you had that miscarriage at their home, like, what if they had a place that they could send you and they can say, hey, we've heard about this place and we want you to be able to go and just reconnect to one another. So it'll start out just a place for that of rest and reconnection for them. There'll be trails, and we have a beautiful site map that's been drawn out for us, just taking our heart and putting it out there in design. But we also want to eventually host weekend retreats. As we're able to build cabins, we will plan to do weekend retreats that maybe it's like someone like you comes out and you're able to speak into these couples' lives, or maybe it's centered around grief one time, or maybe like my dream, Sherry, my dream is to have an event on Mother's Day weekend.
Oh,
because
yes.
how many of us hate Mother's Day weekend, or it's just a layer of navigating that's exhausting. And you don't have to go to the Mother's Day brunch because you get to come out and just have a wonderful weekend at our property, right? So
yeah.
There's so many opportunities, 48 acres. And so really we're just at the beginning of building and launching this. And we're doing a one-day event for couples in October. It won't be on our property because we're not quite ready for that yet, but we're housing a beautiful facility and couples can come for the day. And we're just going to have the conversations. It's going to be relaxing, fun. We'll have live music. I wish I could like display the imagery already that is going to happen, but I won't be able to until it actually happens. But just the beauty of the space, the conversations, the realness of the couples that are coming to share with us, and just a place that, hey, I'm navigating this too, and it's just a lot, and I want to connect. So we're launching that October 14th, but that's really what we're stepping into. It's taking what we've been through and what some of our friends have been through and saying, hey, there's a space for you and it can be whatever you need it to be. There's a beautiful, serene environment that you can just enter into. And it's like it's prepared to handle what you've been through. Like, I don't know how to say that. And I don't want to sound weird, but like, we believe that we're preparing the land to handle everything that you've been through. And we want you to be able to come, and there it's no confining or tempering or having to like figure it out. It just can handle it because it's for beautiful. That. So that's, I could go on forever, so you'll have to stop me. But I just, that's what's in our heart. That's what we're building this for. And that's why we're building it, because we didn't have this. In our 22-year journey together, we have not had this space.
Yeah.
And we're going to do everything we can and bring along as many people who will contribute and partner with us to build this for the couples that need it.
I absolutely love it. Bonnie Ruth, it really sounds beautiful, and the way that you're talking about it makes me, I mean, I can't wait to see it.
Thank you. Me too.
And I think it's going to be, it really sounds like a beautiful spot. And I love the way that you said that we're preparing the land to hold, I forget exactly how you said it, but to
hold the space.
Hold what they, everything they need
in
that weekend or week or however long they spend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where can we find that? Can you tell us where we can find you and more info on your retreat center?
Definitely. So for the retreat center, we are on Facebook and Instagram, Legacy Place Retreat. You can also find our website, legacyplaceretreat.com. And we really are just kind of starting this journey. So come along with us, because we share, I mean, you'll see on there, like we have cattle on our land right now, and you'll see us like navigating the cattle. And we are just really inviting people along the journey as we build this, because to be honest, there, we have not been able to find anything like it. So we want people to see, like, one, we hope it inspires them to dream and to, again, redefine and reshape what their legacy looks like and how they want to live their journey in their life. And so, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and legacyplaceretreat.com. Also, we'll have the information on the one-day event as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Bonnie Ruth, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a really inspiring and really fun conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I've enjoyed your perspective. I'm like, I'm over here taking notes.
Oh, me too. I got my pen here.
It's good.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.